turn to Exodus 18. It's in the bulletin on page 8. We're continuing in our study in the book of Exodus, and we're getting to Exodus 18 now. And we have one Lord, one Savior, one King. And so let's go to Him now as we prepare our hearts to hear God's Word, as well as to consider what God's Word says to us this morning. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time, and we pray that You would minister to us as we have need through Your Word. You speak to us there. You don't leave us alone to fret about and figure things out on our own. It doesn't mean we always understand, but Lord, You haven't left us alone. So we pray that You'd help us this morning, and I pray for myself as Your servant that You'd help me. And Lord, where there's comfort, where there's exhortation, encouragement, let those be Your words, and I pray they'd remain with us. And where there's confusion or uncertainty, I pray those would be My words, and they would quickly pass. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think one of the lessons I had trouble learning early in marriage was sharing food. Like, you go out to a meal, and, you know, you each order something, and you're looking at that other person's dish, you know, that looks good. I'd like to have a bite of that. And early on, I didn't want to share. I think Lydia had to learn that she needed to let me get some of it down first before she, you know, said, hey, let me have a bite of that. But like, you ordered your own thing. You're stuck with that. Now we've gotten to a point many years now into our marriage where we collaborate. What do you want? Hey, this sounds good. We'll do the splitsies a lot of times, but you know, even though sharing is one of those lessons you learn early on, like we hear it all the time, we teach it all the time here with our preschool, right? You don't get to just hold on to a toy and not share because it's your favorite toy. It's really not your favorite toy. You just like it because somebody else wants it, right? It's one of those early lessons that we learn. We share toys, we share turns, we share our prayers, we share learning together, but that's a lesson that we have to learn over and over again. Some of you may be familiar with Robert Fulghum's book. This is going back. This is a little dated now. All I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. I believe it was the New York Times bestseller. And it was a book of essays, and that was the first essay in the book. And he has this list of like 16 things, and I won't give you them all. But here's his list of things that he learned in kindergarten. That it's all you really need to know in life. And I'd say there's a little bit more than this, but this is a good start. His first thing is share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Take a nap every afternoon. Why? Where did that go? That sounds delightful. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Those are just some of those the things that he enumerated. But the first thing, share everything. And as you hear Exodus 18, I want you to hear it through that lens of sharing. Now, I'm familiar with this passage, and it'll become clear towards the end of the chapter why it's maybe familiar to me. But as I began to study it over the past several weeks, I realized there's a whole lot more here that I've maybe overlooked or not thought of as significant as it is. But two questions as we go into hearing God's Word this morning, two questions for you to listen for. What is being shared? And what needs to be shared or needed to be shared? And here's my theme. All right, and I'll give you those two questions again. What is being shared and what needed to be shared? And here's my theme. Our dependence upon the Lord is meant to be shared. Our dependence meant to be shared. Last week I spoke of our utter dependence. Then that's not something, our utter dependence upon the Lord, and that's not something that is to happen in isolation, but happens in community. And we've been in this larger section of Exodus, really beginning the end of Exodus 15, and then chapter 16, 17, 18, where you could put, if you wanted one big theme, it's been about God providing for his people over and over again in a variety of ways. Even though they grumble, even though they complain, even though they fail to trust the Lord or believe in him at times, he continues to provide for his people. And that includes Moses. Moses was dependent upon the Lord, and he needed the Lord's provision as well. We are always and only delivered and directed by the Lord's grace and mercy to us. And that is a wonderful thing for us to share. To share with our family, to share with our friends, to share with the world around us, and to share as a church or as a community as we're seeking to follow the Lord. So if you want to have your bulletins handy or your Bibles, let's read Exodus 18. I'll read it if you'll follow along. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home, along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for he had said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardships that had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord, Yahweh, is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of ten, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away to his own country. This is the word of the Lord. asked you two big questions before we got started. What is being shared and what needed to be shared? So if our dependence upon the Lord is meant to be shared, then how does it show up here? Well, I want to give you two words maybe to hang on. Deliverance and direction. Deliverance and direction. One is kind of backward looking. The other one is forward looking. But both deliverance and direction are shared within the community of faith. And central to this chapter is Jethro. We haven't thought about Jethro in a while. You have to go back to chapter 4, verse 18, the last time we thought about Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. In that verse, Moses asks for, Jethro gives his permission as Moses asks for permission to go back to Egypt. And Jethro gives it to him. And so Moses leaves, and then, well, we've been working through the rest of the story up to this point. And now Jethro shows back up at the beginning of this chapter, and he's going to depart at the end, and he is throughout this chapter. There's a beautiful family reunion that's taking place. Moses has been apart from his family, from his wife and two sons who are named here, from his father-in-law, because he's gone to do the work that the Lord had called him to do. But notice verse 1, Jethro has been hearing about Yahweh. He's been hearing about the Lord. He's been hearing what the Lord has done. That's where this chapter begins, but it gets even more intimate in verses 8 and 10 after they have come together. They've inquired, hey, how you doing? How's the weather? How's, the Midianite sports team, right? They do all that stuff, and then they really get into it in verse 8 through 10. And what is being shared? Listen to this word that is repeated. I'll emphasize it a little bit more this time. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel and that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro said, verse 10, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. And then it goes on. So we hear this word repeated in those three verses four different times, this deliverance, both in Jethro's mouth and Moses' mouth. This is central to what they are sharing. And not only is Jethro hearing about this, who better to hear from than Moses, right? Tell me all that the Lord has done. Well, Moses could tell you, right? So Jethro's got a front row seat to hear about what God has done from Moses, his son-in-law, and now he's rejoicing. He makes this confession of faith in verse 11. Whether it's the first time or maybe a renewed confession of faith, he says, now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. And so Moses and Jethro are both recognizing who Yahweh is. And as a result, they share in this worship of the Lord. And it's not just them. It's in the community of faith. We see that they come together for a meal. And the elders of Israel are there. Moses is there. Jethro is there. It might be a covenant-making ceremony, as a PCA pastor, Ligon Duncan, makes mention of. It has all the hallmarks of that, as it says in verse 12, that they ate before God. They may have been making a covenant between Israel and the Midianites here. But regardless, we see that Jethro is rejoicing in the deliverance that Moses has shared about after Jethro's heard about it. So that's what is being shared. Speaking of what God has done for his people. In verse 1, we're told that Jethro was the priest from Midianite. One time. How many times do you hear Jethro then referred to as Moses' father-in-law? Over and over and over again. 13 times. It's repeated again. It is, and as I started reading, I was like, I didn't forget that that's Moses' father-in-law. I didn't forget the verse before that or the verse before that or verse before that. Well, that's intentional. Moses himself, as he writes this, is identifying his father-in-law in relationship to him and to the people of God, not what he had been before, not who he was before. Moses seems to be saying that Jethro should be known by what is shared between them in the present. So it's not just deliverance, what is being shared, but what needs to be shared. Direction. We get the next day as you continue in the passage. The next day, you hear that in verse 13. The next day, Moses sat to judge. So he got a day off to have a family reunion. And now he's back to work judging among the people. And Jethro right away recognizes the burden that is on Moses. He recognizes there's a lack of wisdom here in what Moses is doing. I don't know how many people, Israelites there were, but it was a lot, right? It wasn't just a few. If they're dividing in the way that they're dividing, there were hundreds of thousands of people that had left Egypt that Moses feels responsible for on his own. They are a fledgling nation. And next week when Jacob preaches, I don't know what your sermon will be about, Jacob, but we're really beginning to see the Lord bring the people more and more to be his nation, his people. Not just scattered about, but together. And so that's a lot. It's a lot for Moses to bear. And you know that sharing isn't easy, especially if all you're hearing is someone share complaints. Sharing space and suffering and sustenance can bring up issues. If you ever lived with roommates, you know that sharing is not easy, and those roommates could be related to you. It's exhausting what Moses is trying to do. And so what Jethro does is provide direction, very specific direction to Moses. And he's direct in what he says. He says, Moses, verse 17, what you're doing is not good. You can't do it by yourself. And so he doesn't just identify the problem. Lots of people can identify problems and not provide solutions. Jethro, to his credit, says, this is a problem. Let me give you a solution. And what we have is the First Presbyterian Church. Thank you. All right. In all seriousness, this is one of the ways that Presbyterians end up knowing this passage well, is we talk about the shared leadership, elders sharing the burdens of shepherding God's people. And so, indeed, I say that a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it is also a little bit serious that that is exactly what we're seeing. Moses, even though he has a very clear and specific calling from the Lord, a very important role as a mediator between God and his people, it does not mean that he is to share the burdens of leadership on his own. He's not meant to do it on his own. So what needs to be shared is the burden of leadership. And that's what Jethro leads Moses to establish within this fledgling nation of Israel. How are they going to be overseen? How are they going to be led? And Jethro is being used by the Lord to direct Moses in this. It's a means that the Lord uses to order and lead his people that is being shared among many leaders. And don't miss the purpose. There's a greater purpose here. Though Moses talks about judging between people's disputes, and that's important, but notice also what he says in these verses. Verse 16, Moses himself says, not only is he judging, right, when they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another. That's part of it. He also says, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And then in verse 20, Jethro is giving affirmation of that part as well in this ordering of God's people. And you shall warn them about the statutes and laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do before their Lord. That's the greater purpose, to safeguard Moses' ability to direct God's people in the word and command that God gives. Indeed, he has an important role as a mediator. And he's providing direction for the people's day-to-day walk with the Lord. And that requires his teaching, guiding Israel. But the burdens of leadership as a whole, he needs to share that. And we are here this morning because we share one fundamental reality in common. We share other things, but we share one fundamental reality. We are all, whether we recognize it or acknowledge it or not, are dependent upon Jesus. Our second membership vow, of five membership vows that our members take: do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he is offered in the gospel? We rest, or we depend upon Jesus alone for our salvation, for our deliverance, and for our direction. There's a greater deliverance. I've said it many times as we've preached through. A greater exodus. Jesus is greater than Moses, Hebrews declares to us, the book of Hebrews. He delivers us from our slavery, not to Egypt, but to sin. He defeats our enemy, not the lesser Pharaoh, but the greater Pharaoh, Satan. And we are being led to the true and better promised land in eternity. And how does Jesus do that? He does that by giving his life for ours, taking our punishment that we deserve at the cross. The perfect Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world by his death. That blood is shed, we receive new life. You receive that by faith, by acknowledging that there is no other salvation, no other Savior. You repent or turn away from trying to make it on your own. You yield to the Lord our God. And we hear in Colossians 1, as Paul's praying, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We're delivered. And so we see that Jethro, even in and of himself, begins to fulfill what God has commanded for the deliverance of many peoples, not just Israel. Jethro is the beginning of what we heard in Exodus 9, verse 16, when the Lord gives the purpose for the plagues, speaking for Moses to share with Pharaoh. But for this purpose, I have raised you up to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed where? In Egypt? Yes. In Israel? Yes. In all the earth. And so through Jethro, it's beginning to be proclaimed in Midian. There's a fulfillment here. It's always been the Lord's intent for the good news of his deliverance to be worldwide. And that is something we share with brothers and sisters all around the world. But it's not just that. It's the direction of the Savior for our lives. Jesus didn't carry the burdens of ministry alone. In his public ministry, though we recognize that he's the only Savior, so he's the only mediator, the only one who can redeem, he's still called the 12 disciples or apostles. Men and women were his disciples and provided for his ministry. He didn't do it alone. And the apostles become the foundation of the church, and they give their life. And in 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, helping Timothy establish the church in various places, says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to who? To faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." He was to share. He was to share the burdens of ministry. He was to share the direction of the Lord. He was to share the deliverance that we receive. Share everything. Sharing the leading of the church comes from two directions. Those who have leadership and those who are called to join in that. And maybe I might even say need to join in it. We are all dependent upon the Lord, including how he structures his church and provides for us to grow in our following of his will and way. And I stand before you as one who knows he needs your prayers for my leadership. I'm no Moses. I assure you of that. But I'm not alone in needing to share the burdens of leadership, and I need you to pray for me in that. I don't desire to be alone. As we think about our shared dependence, then, this is the last thing I want to do. Then let's stay with that part for a minute of the direction and the ordering of the church. You saw there was qualifications that Jethro gave. He said these need to be able men. They need to be men of character and integrity, right? Not ones who are going to accept a bribe. Remember, the background is the disputes that are happening between people. Right, so we need men of character, we need men of integrity. It's not unlike the way that Paul directs Timothy and Titus in how they are to seek men for the office of elder and deacon. Able men, men of character, men of integrity. And if you look in Acts 6, where we see perhaps the first deacons, then you see that the same thing is being done. We need men who are able to lead and to share the burden of leadership in different ways. So yes, I made that quip about the First Presbyterian Church, but we really do see ordering and structuring here that aligns with how we seek to order our church. Is it a one-to-one? No, not necessarily. There's other things that we take account of in Scripture. But just like Moses failed to delegate, I can fail to delegate, and I need to continue to grow in that. And we have struggled at times as a church to find men who are willing to serve the church in the ways that we need. So let me just remind you, one, to pray, and two, the session has opened up this month as for officer nominations. There's a form out on the table in the foyer. You can also go onto our website and make a nomination. We've received a few. But we have that need. We also need men who are willing to get into the process as we've established a new way for men to grow in their leadership by joining not as officers right away, but as apprentices. So we hope that as men are nominated, it doesn't just become a yes or no thing. It becomes, will you join us in taking this journey? Not everyone will end up in the same place, and that's okay. But it's a journey we need to take together because we need to share that direction that the Lord is giving us. Of course, we need faithful women to serve in a variety of roles as well. And we need our young people to step up. And I'm thankful that we do. We see that our young people serving as well and sharing in the burdens of leading in their own ways that are appropriate as well. But we're not able to do it alone. I do want to preach and direct you to Christ. I do want to pray for and shepherd this body, but I will not be able to do everything alone. Jacob can't do everything alone. Our elders can't do everything alone. We need one another, and that is something that needs to be shared to answer that question. But also, what do we share? What is being shared? We see it in this passage, the deliverance. We want to share that as well. Moses had good reason to tell his father-in-law about what the Lord had done. But let's be honest, sharing with your family about your faith, particularly if it's not something that is necessarily shared, that you have in common, it can be hard, can't it? And so it's something for us to pray for. But if you have been delivered, then that's worth acknowledging. It's worth talking about. It's worth representing into this world. And I don't say that to shame or guilt. I say that as a conviction to my own soul, my own heart, and in my own words. But one thing we do each and every week is share about Jesus.
So here's a simple thing, and I've shared this with you before. You can invite someone to join us because you can know that they're going to hear about who Jesus is. That's a simple thing. Make an invitation. When's the last time you invited someone to join you for church? Again, I'm not saying that to shame you, guilt you, or kind of whip you into shape. I say it for my own heart. And so let's pray for opportunities, and I believe that the Lord would answer that for us to share about the deliverance that we have in common through Jesus Christ and that we want others to know. We want others to see. Jacob's going to preach Exodus 19 next week, and then we're going to take a little break as we lead into from Exodus, as we lead into Easter, and my sermon series is going to be on unexpected testimonies. Unexpected testimonies about who Jesus is that we see in the Gospels. Let's pray that the Lord would lead an opportunity for an unexpected testimony here, one we may not see coming. And let us share with the world with our lives, but also our words. So I do encourage you to pray during this season of Easter that we would share that as well. And we'd be willing. I don't know if you saw this in the news, and I'll conclude with this. There was a four-year-old in Wisconsin who called 911, unbeknownst to his mother, and there's report, body cam footage that I saw, the police showing up. They have to check on these things. That's required when someone calls 911. And it was this little four-year-old having this conversation with the 911 operator about ice cream. All right, about ice cream. He was upset, and so he had called. He had some idea of what 911 was for, but he was upset with his mother. His mother doesn't know why he's upset. Mother doesn't know why the police are there, and then she realizes she had eaten his ice cream. It is hard to share, isn't it? We have to share everything, and maybe moms don't know about how to work the dad tax. Dads work that right from the very beginning. There's a dad tax, and you've got to help your kids know. That's a part of sharing. And maybe moms don't have that in their repertoire. I'm not sure. But in either case, they had a good conversation. The boy learned what 911 is actually for. But yeah, sharing's hard. But we're to share everything. Ice cream, deliverance, direction, all the ways that the Lord provides for us. Join me in prayer. Father, I pray that you would lead us in your will and your ways, just as you were leading your people. Lord, we, like Israel, can be grumblers and complainers. We can forget your provision. We can forget your power. But Lord, we thank you that as you are leading your people, you are providing for them, and that dependence that we have, we're to share with one another. We're to share about how you've delivered us from the domain of darkness and delivered us and brought us into your kingdom. We're to share how you lead and set up your church. Lord, all of these things, we pray that you would help us with here at North Hills. And Lord, we pray that you do your will within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.